Another bailout for GMAC?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Some of the big banks have been rushing to repay their bailout money, but not everyone is. The government's expected to announce, possibly today, that it's giving GMAC Financial Services more TARP money. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joins us live from our New York bureau. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how much money is GMAC in line to get?
GMAC is probably going to get around $3.5 billion this time. It sounds like the official announcement could come as early as this afternoon, so we'll know more then. But the first installment came from the government a year ago, and so far GMAC has gotten $12.5 billion. The government's doing this because it wants to make sure that GMAC can meet its capital requirements as they were laid out by those stress tests last May.
And why is it so important that GMAC get more taxpayer money?
Well, there are two key elements here. The first is that GMAC has been losing money from its residential mortgage business. So the new money will hopefully keep the company stable while it's trying to deal with those losses. The other thing is the government really wants to make sure that GMAC can keep lending to the auto industry. GMAC is the big lender for GM and Chrysler dealers and a lot of their customers. The government already owns a third of GMAC, and it's really trying to get the company profitable again by the first quarter of next year.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth, live from New York. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now let's do the numbers. The stock rally of 09 has taken a pause this morning. European markets are down almost 1%. Asian markets were mixed. Shares of Japan Airlines plummeted on fears that carrier might go bankrupt. On Wall Street yesterday, we got so-so reports on home prices and consumer confidence. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ slipped 0.1%. The Dow lost less than 2 points. It closed at 10,545. The Russian oil giant Lukoil has just signed a deal to develop one of Iraq's biggest oil fields. The Russians won the rights to the field at an auction earlier this month, and there were very few American oil companies bidding. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains why.
The Iraqis are driving a hard bargain with foreign oil companies. The contracts up for bid earlier this month were only for 20 years, and Iraq gets $2 for every barrel of oil the foreign companies pump. Bruce Bullock is an oil industry economist at Southern Methodist University. He says Iraq's terms were just too tough.
They wanted quite a bit to participate, and it would have been very difficult for most U.S. companies to be able to make a comfortable profit on it.
Especially when they'd have to spend lots of money for security in Iraq and to shore up the creaky infrastructure in Iraqi oil fields. Oil industry analyst Stephen Shork says the spoils of the Iraq war aren't so great.
It's going to be a tremendous cash outlay, and a lot of companies are cash strapped at this point.
Their shareholders are strapped too, and they won't support risky investments in places like Iraq. In this economy, they want quick, safe returns. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The estate tax, sometimes known as the death tax, expires Friday. It'll be gone for 1 year before it reappears in 2011. In this morning's Wall Street Journal reports, people who are wealthy and dying are fighting to stay alive at least until New Year's Day just to keep the government's hands off their estates.
Marketplace is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com.
If you've been in the workforce for any amount of time, you have been asked to collaborate, break into small groups, lead a team greater than the sum of its parts. Have you ever thought, I just want to do things my way? Well, all of us have to collaborate sometimes, and if you don't, maybe you ought to. The great American choreographer Twyla Tharp has written a book about collaboration. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're here in Los Angeles speaking at a business forum about collaboration. People who don't know your work might think a a choreographer. You don't collaborate. You tell the dancers what to do, right?
Oh, wouldn't that be good? I can only do what the dancers do, and the more that I can pull from them, the more that I can do. And I think that that's kind of a key to collaboration. The first book that I wrote was about doing it by yourself. The creative habit is how we go into an empty room, nobody's there. What do you do to keep from going crazy? The second book is you go into a room, there are a whole bunch of people there, you start to work, what do you do to keep from going crazy?
Well, it helps when those people are Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Well, and, that helps some, although it has its issues. Everybody is different, and for me, the key to good collaboration is respect for one's coworkers. You need to figure out how what you want done is what they want done, and then pretty soon you're all hopefully working towards the same goal.
Is there a story that comes to mind of a lesson you've learned that could apply to the workplace?
This is the story of how I became a choreographer. My siblings were twins. My parents just called them Stan and Stan because they were identical and they could not tell them apart. Mm-hmm. So I took Stan and Stan into a room and I started teaching them dancing. And I suddenly realized that I could identify these two boys not by how they looked, but by how they moved. That through looking at people, working with people in movement, I could find identity and definition. And that's what I still try to do with dancers, is find identity and definition.
Maybe artists aren't quite the loners we often assume them to be.
To some degree, they are. To some degree, an artist has to know exactly what they want to see and hold out for it. And that can make them quite objectionable as human beings on occasion. On the other hand, a good collaborator also knows who they are.
Well, you're one of the best collaborators. Twyla Tharp is one of America's most honored choreographers and the author of The Collaborative Habit. Twyla, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And finally, yet another use for Facebook. An escaped prisoner in Britain called Craig Lazy Lynch is using the site to taunt police. He regularly updates his Facebook page with criticism of the cops and photos of him holding a wanted sign. The police are asking Lynch's 3,800 Facebook friends to please help track him down. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.